This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Happy Friday, everybody. It's Dukes and Bell live at Flowery Branch, hanging out as we'll get a chance to talk to our latest Falcons. Both Jalen Walker and James Pierce are going to stop by the show in the 4 o'clock hour. In the meantime, we're talking to you because it's one of those rare days, Mike, where everybody feels pretty damn good in Atlanta about this team and the direction they're headed after last night's draft. If you're just joining us again, Jalen Walker, 15, he fell to us. Look, he should have been gone. And just the fact that he's sitting there, you know, it would have been a monumental mistake if the Falcons chose to pass him. They didn't. They didn't pass. Right. They take him, and then we go, all right, what are we going to do tomorrow? And then they move back into the late first round, Mike, at 26, make the trade with the Rams, and we get James Pierce Jr. And then you're going, holy crap, we got two edge rushers?
Yeah, guy just hit me up on Twitter. Follow us, Carlos. Put him up. See, Dukes, I'm Mike Bell, ATL. And he said, from an overall perspective, you judge the trade based on both picks, not just the one, because the trade was as much about accommodating the Walker pick as it was getting Pierce. That was true. From Tia Weedat Peach. Nice handle. And so I said, yeah. I mean, I think certainly they were definitely going to take Pierce at 15. Randy asked, you'll hear that conversation coming up next, right, Carl?
Yes.
And you'll hear the GM here on 92.9 The Game. Terry kind of equivocated on that, but my spidey sense thinks that, yes, we were locked in on Pierce, so they get the guy. They move up, and at the end of the day, this is your second-round pick. The big question is, do you sweat? This is where you really debate. I think Brian McFadden had a problem with us giving up the first-rounder, but you got to give to get. And if this guy's all world, we're going to not have a problem. We got two all SEC studs. We've just brought some amazing elements into our pass rush. So I'm cool with it.
We're going to jump back on the phones. Before we do, as part of our 4th-and-1 segment, guys, brought to you by Priority Men's Medical Centers. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. I want you to hear the moment because last night it felt like it took 25 minutes. And as that clock was counting down, you're going, okay, Terry, come on, man. Rob, what are we doing? Let's go.
You know they're fielding calls.
Oh, no doubt.
And they're trying to – because, like, we always said – see, I love the idea of trading down, but not trading down and passing on Jalen Walker.
Yeah, because there are some guys you just don't pass on under the circumstances where we are. But this is the moment. And then after this, you'll hear the phone call. Now, the phone call's prior to the pick, but I thought it was pretty cool, and the Falcons recorded it, as many teams do, but this is the moment last night.
With the 15 picks in the 2025 NFL Draft, the Atlanta Falcons select Jalen Walker, defensive end, Georgia.
Jalen, Terry, what's going on? Where you at, man?
Man, I'm at the crib. I'm in Salisbury, man.
You're in Salisbury? Well, you know the good news, Arthur doesn't even have to send a plane for you, man.
Hey, man, send that.
You ready, man?
Hey, it was meant to be, man, all right?
Hey, man.
Hey, I'm going to put you on with Raheem right now, okay?
I got you.
And then start walking your ass this way.
Hey, man. Hey, man, I'm on the way.
Start walking your ass this way. It's time to go, man.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Hey, let's go, man. Come stay home, bro.
That, of course, at the end. And you hear the excitement in Jalen's voice. Obviously, he's talking about Salisbury, North Carolina. Start walking your blank here. I mean, let's go. And I love seeing that behind the scenes, Mike. That's become more prominent over the last, I don't know, 10 years or whatever. We used to didn't get that from teams, but I think it's cool because fans always want to know, like, what was the moment, man, you got the phone call?
Right, and just the excitement, the enthusiasm. He's a Carolina kid. Both our guys are Carolina kids. Pierce Jr.'s from outside Charlotte.
Yep.
But you got a guy that, you know, knows Atlanta, you know, knows the Falcons. It's funny because when they asked him, you know, everyone always goes, I'm just happy to be on any team. No, this is one of those teams he wanted to be on, which is great to hear. We'll ask him about it when we get him in the studio here in our Ticketmaster studios at the branch. But, yeah, that's just gold, man. And that's because, man, any dad's dream, and his father has coached up there in college, a small college Catawba for years. So very cool.
All right, what's your enthusiasm level, man? Where you at, Falcon fans? Rise up, 404-726-0929. Let's talk to Chris on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris, where you at, man? Thank you so much for listening. Hey, man.
Yes, sir, thank you. I'm in a truck heading down Highway 20 back to Beaufort, and I'm at a 10. But, again, I got to see the product on the field myself. I mean, after last year, I was excited. I went to that first game in Pittsburgh. Oh, man, I was thoroughly disappointed. I took my money to a JV school, went to that game, bought the stadium hot dogs, and gave the rest of the money I spent on tickets to the team to buy equipment with. That's how disappointed I was.
Oh, so he's happy. Sadness, obviously, to start the season, happy now.
Yeah, look.
Every, one more stop in that Steeler game, we might have won it.
No doubt. And by the way, that was a very close game. Yeah. Justin Fields was the quarterback in that game against us. But here, let me help you just real quick. Every year is different. This is the hardest part as a sports fan. We linger on the past so much that we live in it. Let last year go. You know how hard it was to be in this city when we lost the damn Super Bowl?
Right.
Let it go. We got to move forward. So I just want to help you, Chris. I hear you. He's like, I got to see the product on the field. I ain't doing a damn thing until I see the product on the field. Let it go. We have to move forward. Right. And moving forward is last night. That's the start of next season and us, Mike, turning the page.
As we said, I mean, like, we've talked about the front office and some moves. It's been a lot about offense. You know, we've talked about how the process went down, who wanted who. Was Arthur Smith when he was here? Again, as you said, rearview mirror. Here we are, 2025. We're excited about Penix Jr. The next mission is unload Kirk Cousins, you know, lion butt, and let's get on with it and see what we can get. But, and maybe that happens, maybe it doesn't. But that's a minor thing. I'm not even thinking about Kirk Cousins today, what we added.
I agree. Let's talk to the other Chris here on hold. James Chief, we'll get to you guys. Chris, hey, man, talk to us.
Hey man. I'm on a gazillion, man. Last night was one of the best nights as a Falcon fan in recent years. I've been beating the drum, you guys, for a defensive player. You know, we went through the past three drafts picking offense, but when the pick was, you know, hanging there, and like you said, Carl, Conte's on there going 40 seconds, 35 seconds. I was clutching my pillow, Mike, like, please, God. And let me just tell you, when they said Walker's name, you could hear it on the radio, the fans down there at Mercedes-Benz going crazy. We've been waiting for a moment like this. You know, we all are Falcons fans. We've been through it, but you said it. Let's move forward. The curse of the Bulldog is over after 60 years. We got two young studs on defense, and let's get ready for a great season, man. And I've one last thing. I'm so glad that Uncle Arthur made all those guys go down to Georgia, took the 20 people down there. I think that made a difference, and let's ride out to the season. Peace.
Good stuff, right, man. Right. Chris, thank you so much. Explanation of just the feeling. Listen, the crowd last night at Mercedes-Benz explodes. I don't know where you took the draft in. I've seen all the different videos and people posting stuff, man. It was just like that roar you heard around the state of Georgia. It was that was that relief, Mike. Like, oh my God, they finally did something we hoped they would do. And look, there's no unless you've lived this like we have. Like other fan bases, they can tell us all they want, Mike. Until you've lived it,
right.
You can't express that feeling of you don't understand.
No, I mean, this is like take yourself back to, I don't know, you're 8 years old and you really wanted the G.I. Joe with the Kung Fu grip. And you got the Evel Knievel set. You got both. You got both, man.
Both?
I came down Christmas morning. I got G.I. Joe and Evel Knievel. That's what we got now. We'll figure out which one's going to be which. But that's the way I feel. And again, the only hesitation I had, which took me basically till the midday today, was just getting past the other guys I had in my own mind earmarked. Then you realize if you have a certain guy you like, if you like Mike Green, this guy is actually a more athletic Mike Green by any, you know, measurable. Everyone's talked about his speed and athleticism. Can't wait.
Here's the deal.
Talk about Pierce Jr.
Yes. I don't know if he's a better pass rusher, but we'll find out.
Right.
That's the stuff that is debatable. Some teams say yes. Some teams say no. We're going to find out. Let's see what James has to say on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. James, hey, man.
Hey, man. I'm on with Deuce Bell.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Hey, man. Hey, I'm on whatever number that Jalen Walker's going to get this season, man. Whatever his number going to be, that's the level I'm on. Maybe a 97, maybe a 80-something. Maybe I don't care what number it is. I'm up there. Bill, I just wanted to ask you, brother, were we not desperate? Like, forget the picks for next year. Terry explained it perfectly to me from Andy and Randy. He said that we traded We moved up because we wanted to pick for this season.
Right.
So we would have drafted another defensive end next season. It really wouldn't have mattered, you know? But that's how I feel, man. I'm excited. I'm extremely happy, bro. I cannot believe how happy I am, bro.
Right on, man. I love it. And again, obviously, we were talking to Brian McFadden last night, and he was kind of lukewarm on it. And that's why I kind of tempered my expectations. But yeah,
was the initial reaction, Mike, from people who don't cover this team every day and just the general sports folks who say, oh, they reached or that was a bad trade. And then, as you said, when you start to dissect it and you look at it, I do agree with Terry on this. Right. We were going to do the same thing next year. Why not do it this year?
And again, if you're going to be picking 27th at the Rams, the thing is, as long as it works, you know, when you say blank those picks, it's got to work.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously it has worked for the Rams. But, man, we've got Leonard Floyd, and then you're going to have this big rotation, all these young studs. Braylon Trice we've talked about. You know, I still think we're a little thin in defensive tackle. If we move on from Onyemata, I mean, we're going to bring some undrafted free agents. There's going to be a bunch of big bodies I can imagine coming in with some corners, depending on what we do this rest of the week. Weekend, but I'm excited, man. And yeah, I just at the time I was a little, you know, and then you see all the guys from analytics to ex players going, I love this movement. People say we won the draft.
Absolutely. Day one, there's no debating it. And by the way, the draft for the first part of the draft kind of went expected.
Right.
Will Campbell, Abdul Carter, Travis Hunter. The trade, though, with the Jags, that was a shocker, obviously, at the top of the draft. But Travis Hunter still goes 2 overall.
Right. And remember, when we were on the air yesterday for Mercedes-Benz, the talk was they were coming up for Genty. You know, because no one really, I mean, we didn't even mention Hunter. And the thing is, I do love now with this coach, you know, that comes up from Tampa Bay. You got Liam Cohen. You got a guy who said, and there, he's been on record yesterday about imaginative with the play calling and utilizing this guy. Because you and I talked about it.
No, he's
solid. Can you work 85 to 90 plays for this guy? We'll find out.
Yeah. Look, Liam is a very good play caller. And look, I thought he was probably 2 years away from getting a head coaching job.
Right.
Stuff happens.
Right.
He gets his opportunity. He runs
but
with it.
But not afraid from utilizing. Again, all this, and as you and I debated what the usage rate on both sides of the ball will be. We'll find out.
No
but
doubt.
They're not afraid to go down that road.
All right, one more call. Chief, before we let you hear what Terry Fontenot had to say with our guys Andy and Randy coming up here live from Flowery Branch. Chief, man, what level are you on right now? Where are you at?
What's happening, Chief? I ain't talked to y'all in a while.
What's
dude?
Up, Chief?
What's going on?
Hey, my excitement level, I'm so excited. You know what? I ain't been this excited since they had 2 for 1 special at Magic City on lemon pepper wings. I'm telling you, I'm real excited. I mean, you know, I'm seriously. This, you know what? If anybody in this city, if you're not listening to 92.9 for your new draft pick, something's wrong. All right?
Right.
Stay tuned. I want to hear the interview. Hey, guys, I'm loving it.
Thank you, man.
Chief, by the way, has got some vision problems. If we win the division, bro, I'm going to get you a C&I lap dance.
Ooh. That's solid.
Thank you.
2-for-1 wings, though. He ain't lying about that at Magic City. Like that's excitement
right there.
Right on. Hey, man, coverage of the NFL draft continues on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game all the way through the final pick on Saturday at 6 p.m. So don't forget, we got pick-by-pick coverage, second and third rounds tonight at 6. It begins and followed by late-night wrap-up shows, guys. All the reaction. And it's brought to you by our friends at Honda, our local Honda dealers, and Window Nation. Buy 4 windows, get 4 free. The NFL draft continues on Sports Radio.
Yeah.
Falcons said last night, are you not entertained? As they went back into the first round to get another pass rusher. It's Dukes and Bell live at Flowery Branch, guys, hanging out 4 o'clock hour straight ahead, and we're going to get a chance to talk to both of our newest Falcons. Stay tuned for that. But we want you to hear what Terry Fontenot had to say on Andy and Randy on the midday show as he stopped in today. And they were just talking about the excitement level for everybody. And listen, Terry kind of summed it up with his first statement.
If you can't put on the tape and watch Jalen Walker and Pierce, if you put on that tape and watch them play and you don't get excited, you don't like football.
Right.
It's that simple. Mm-hmm. And any game, put it on, even you go back to their high school tape, put on a game and see the way those dudes play with their hair on fire and fly around and get after the quarterback. If you can't get excited about that, then you just don't like football.
Let me ask you this, because I don't want to say surprised, because you can't afford to be surprised.
Yeah.
You're prepared for all of it. But at what point pre-15 did you start to think Jalen Walker might be there for you guys?
Yeah, good question. And because, you know, those first, call it, 7 picks, they came off like chalk, exactly what everybody expected, and it was kind of unique. And that was the first time where when you get in that 8, 9, 10, where it's kind of started going off and these offensive linemen start going and a receiver and kind of – and so we said, you know what, there may be some defensive players down there that we don't expect, because we always work off worst-case scenario, and that's how we always have to work. So as opposed to saying it's surprised, I say we're excited. he was there. And because now you get to that point, and there's some really good defensive players that we're staring at. So we were really excited that he was there.
What took so long, Terry? Because we were sitting there, we were all sitting there like, okay. Okay, he's there. Because I promise you, when tight end goes 14, and we're all like, oh, yeah, like, he's there. He's
look,
there.
We got there. We got a but, brand new draft. Have y'all been in the draft room?
Of course not.
No. Okay, we'll take y'all up there.
Can we go?
We'll make sure, Dave. Seriously, we'll take y'all in there maybe after the draft,
but
maybe the last day.
What decisions are – obviously, you're the player, but was there something else going on?
No, that's what I was about to tell you. Okay. We got this brand-new drafter, and we're taking advantage of all that airtime. You don't want to waste it and turn the pick in too early, and you can't get the pictures and all that good stuff. But look, we go through our process, and we continue to talk to people, and we talk to – we're on the phones, and you got to go through that process. But, man, we're excited to do it, and we're excited to make that pick.
What does that time feel like to you? Because I'll tell you what it felt like for us. It felt like it took forever. Like, when they made the pick at 14, and the Falcons are on the clock, and we know Jalen Walker is there, and you understand all the, you know, the ties and all that kind of stuff. That 10 minutes took 10 years. How long did it take for you?
Well, it does. It feels like forever, but you've gone through so much. You've gone through these guys. You've been through these guys ad nauseum. We've had so many conversations about them and about. So it does seem like a long time, kind of when you're going right there. But it's an excitement. You know, I wouldn't say it's a nervousness or anything like that. It's an excitement about that. But you still gotta be professional and go through the process and all that stuff. And but we were excited to turn that card in.
Could you tell us about the process with Jay Spears Jr. leading up to the draft?
Yeah.
Because we were talking yesterday before the show, and obviously we give like, well, at 15, he picked a player, I picked a player. He picked the Georgia player, I picked James Pierce at the 15th spot. And then all of a sudden you take Jalen. And then what is your process of going back to get him?
Because Sadie and you picked James?
Yes, I said James at 15.
Got it.
Yeah. And
got
so
it.
I was curious about the week leading up to picking him. Would he
– yeah.
If Jalen wasn't there, would he have been the pick there?
Yeah.
And then once you – do take Jalen, how did you think about getting back in to get James?
Good question. And that kind of goes back to what you were talking about earlier. You look at kind of worst case scenario and you work through that. So that's a really good scenario that they're both there. And then so you look at it and really in your mind, you want to get both players, you know. And so, okay, but we're going to take Jalen right here. But then how are we going to get back in here to get James Pierce? And we had already had a lot of conversations leading up to it with the teams below. And we knew some teams later in the lower 20s might want to trade out. But then we got really aggressive. We got on those phones and we said, let's figure out a way to get back in here and get him. And that was a dream scenario to get both those players.
Falcons general manager Terry Fontenot joining us here live in Flowery Branch after the first round last night where the team took two players, a third round draft pick tonight as well. As it stands right now, who knows?
Yeah. Yep.
Terry Fontenot more aggressive. Then we realized leading into this draft, you told us that earlier this week, you had the chart and you ranked where you ranked, and we found out last night. Let me ask you this, because, I mean, look, pass rush has been a need for this team for a while. What was the biggest influence for you guys that led to addressing it at the level that you addressed it last night?
Yeah, well, if you don't know if you're going to have that opportunity to do that. But you can never have too many pass rushers. And if you hear our defensive coaches and Jeff Ulbrich talk about what we're going to do here and the way we're going to rotate, and you want guys out there emptying the tank, so guys aren't going to be playing 100% of the snaps or 80% of the snaps. We want to rotate guys in, and so we want guys coming off the bench fresh and just hunting the quarterback. And so as many of those guys as you can get, you can't have too many pass rushers, whether we're talking about edge guys, interior guys, and to have guys that are different flavors like that, with Jalen being a guy that can move around and do so many different things. And then, again, Pierce coming off the edge with the violence and the way he does and that edge speed. So there are different types of flavors, and you add them in with the guys we have, and we're just rotating. So you can't have too many of those guys. And, look, we'll see where we are in the third round and what's there. Usually at that position, these pressure players, particularly defensive ends and edge, they come off early, and you're not getting them in those other rounds. Like in the third and fourth round, you can hit on some other positions, but just looking at the hit rate overall, those pressure players, particularly edge guys, you got to get them early, and so that's why we're aggressive.
I had a question because we were talking, and curious, when you draft a player and he does not play that year, hurt or whatever, we're talking about Blake Trice, do you view him as maybe a third-round pick this year also?
Yeah, it's a great question, because we have a lot of guys like that, whether we're talking about Braylon Trice, Even guys like that didn't play as much as we thought they could, like a JD or Rook, Brandon Dorless, a lot of those guys that had some little injuries and knickknacks, those guys are developing really well. So we're excited about them moving forward. Guys develop at different levels,
yes.
You know, and there's just different situations. Some guys it pops in year two, some guys year three, some guys right away. They develop at different levels, but we're excited about all those guys.
How do you weigh the cost of getting back into the first round last night? Obviously giving up second tonight, first rounder next year. I mean, clearly James Pierce is a guy that you guys value highly, but when you're in the process of making that decision to do that, like what are some of the factors that play into making that choice?
Yeah, good question. And really, if you look at it in a nutshell, what we did is we used next year's first round pick this year, right? So we used next year's first round pick this year, and we moved from the second to the third. That's what we really paid. So what it comes down to is, how do you feel about the player? Who's the player? If we do that for a player that doesn't pan out to what we expect, it was a bad trade. But the conviction that we had on James Pierce and what he's going to be for us, it's not even close. And essentially, like I said, we're just picking a first pick this year. And so the conviction that we had, then we're really excited about doing it. And that's how we're going to judge. We're not going to judge the trade based off of points and who on this chart or that chart. We're not judging off that. We're judging off who he becomes.
Right.
So if he becomes a really good pass rusher for us, who we believe that he's going to become, then it was a hell of a trade.
Was defense a mandatory thing? Because we go back all the way to the combine. Like, the whole defensive staff was up there. Some people were like, well, maybe they sell a wolf tickets or something. It seemed like – because like Andy was saying, we always ask for pass rush. And it was a receiver, which is trying to be a great pick, a running back, this, and this, offensive lineman. But now you went – was it like one of those things when you were going to the combine – right after the Senior Bowl or whatever, did you sit up there and talk to your staff and then talk to Ra, have the conversation with Ra? We need as many good defensive players, impactful, as we can right now.
Yeah, Randy, that was a little bit overblown. We did have some offensive coaches there too. You know, it kind of got reported and it just kind of took off,
right?
You know? But
what are you saying? We sensationalize things sometimes? All right.
But honestly, we looked at it like we got to get impact players. And so we weren't going to – if just another defensive end that we didn't have that level of belief in, we weren't just going to take any defensive end or any pressure players. But those particular players truly were the top guys on our board in terms of the impact that they can have for us. You know, so we do have to stay disciplined in that way and bring in impact players and not reach. And so if a lot more defensive players went off than we expected and we didn't really feel good about what was there and couldn't trade out, we got to take the best player on the board.
Right.
And that might not have been a defensive player. That's just the truth. Now it worked out exactly how we wanted to, so we're excited.
We've talked about the phrase character issues today.
Yep.
I think it's an unfair phrase because it's so broad and it can apply to so many different things. But it's a phrase that people have used when talking about James Pierce.
Yep.
As you're getting ready to draft someone and obviously looking into everything they are on the field and off the field, how important is it what you're bringing them into, what your organization is, and how much of a difference can that make in terms of your comfortability with a guy?
Yeah, great point. And you know, character issues, when sometimes things will get reported, and the tough thing is people don't always know the amount of intel that we know,
right?
What we know. There are some players that have serious character concerns that no one knows about. There's the same thing with medical. Some guys have bad medical stuff people don't even know about. Same thing with character. So we have a really good scouting staff that gathers all the information. They do a really good job, and they really pound the pavement in that way. And then we are extremely thorough with how much time we spend with the players, the people that surround the players. So we make sure we know exactly what we're bringing to this building. But to your point, that is important to know your building, your culture, your coaches, who's going to be coaching the players. Okay, Jock. Okay, is Jock the right fit? Okay, what's our player engagement, and how do they help? Because we believe it's our job to not only maximize players on the football field but also off the football field. Let's make them better men. Let's help them grow and mature. That's all of our jobs in here. We're all resources for the players, and so we want to make sure that we have the right culture to help all of our players grow and mature. So, but we spend as much time as we can gathering all the intel to know if that's a right fit for us or not. We want guys that are passionate and love ball, and they love playing ball, and they love to compete. And then if there's some things that we need to help them with, then we're going to help them with. But the things that are non-negotiable, you better love ball and love to go out there and compete and be about winning championships. And we believe the players we brought in yesterday are.
Traded a pick for James Pierce. Or is there any more in the dealings as far as trades, specifically a player that's on the team or somebody that, you know, you know, is that – I know you're not going to tell Terry, we done interviewed you too many times to know that you ain't going to give
it. No, I got where you're going.
But is there
– Look.
What's going on with Kirk, all right? Where's Kirk at right now?
And look, basically, just like we've said the entire time, that if the right thing comes around and if there's an offer for any player on our roster that makes sense, do it. But it's going to be about this football team, this organization, doing everything we can do to help this organization be better. And so we're always open to all those things. We communicate with the other 31 teams constantly and work through things. I'm sorry, guys. I got my phone on.
Who is that?
Yeah, look at that. Like,
I'll show it to you.
Look and see what the notification says.
You see who that is? Good job. Don't say it out loud.
I won't.
You know who that is?
I do.
You know what team he's from?
I do.
Okay. Yeah. Don't say it out loud.
I won't. All right. Thank you for showing me that. Look at that.
And that was off the record, so when I leave,
I'm not even going to tell Randy about that.
Hold on, man.
It was his wife.
Oh.
It wasn't. It was a GM, but he's not going to share it.
It wasn't. We saw Jeff Ulbricht almost tackle you last night on television in that room you were talking about. Maybe he's the answer to this. Maybe he's not. Who was the happiest person on staff last night after the first round was over?
Man, everybody. That's the cool thing about both of these players that we brought in, because we do have a lot of layers of information. We have our scouts and everything they go through. We have our coaching staff. We have our analytics department. We have really our player performance, everyone in the building. They all spend so much time going through this process, and I'll say that everybody was excited. Everybody. 1,000%, because it's not always like that. And that's just the truth. It's not always like that, because we're not trying to build consensus and just have groupthink and bring – no, we're trying to get all the information and make the right decision for the Atlanta Falcons. But in this case, with both these players, I would say everybody was excited. And yeah, Brick was he even sent me a text at like 2 in the morning. He was going to sleep and about how excited he was. That's probably why I couldn't sleep, because I keep getting these texts. So, but yeah, I would say the entire building's pumped up right now. And look, we got more work to do.
Right.
We got the third-round pick today, and then tomorrow we got a couple picks, and then that eighth round is real. After the draft, there's going to be a lot of good players, and we got to be aggressive, and we got to make sure we bring in some good players, because every year you look at undrafted free agency, and there's going to be some good players that come out of it.
Yeah.
And so we got to make sure we find those guys and get them to Atlanta.
Did you send a jet for Jalen? Because I saw the phone call. Did you send a jet, a chopper, or something down the south there?
We did. We put them both on. They land here in a little bit.
Okay.
But we were able to put them both on there in Charlotte.
We appreciate it, as always.
Awesome.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate you,
Terry. That's Has your opinion changed, if it had changed at all, on Terry Fontenot? You know, going into this draft, we all said, at least this show, there is a lot of pressure on him to deliver. First round, I think he did. And I don't know if your opinion has changed as the direction of this football team looks like it has changed. We're going to come back. We'll talk about it, Mike, as we continue to talk about the first round. James Pierce, Jalen Walker set to join us in the 4 o'clock hour here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Dukes and Bell. Hope you're having a great day. It's Friday. We're hanging out at the Branch. Man, it's been a long night, but a fun night for Falcon fans. And Mike and I have been chopping it up all day with you. 404-726-0929. And by the way, find us on social media. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up, C Dukes. And, of course, the radio show, Dukes and Bell 929. Follow this radio station at 929 The Game. Mike, I don't know. And, look, it may be too premature, but I do think that after last night – would you say that Terry's back in the good graces of most Falcon fans?
Well, he's back in my good graces, certainly, today. I mean, now, again, yes, I get it. There's a risk in everything. There's a risk in Pierce. There's a risk if you just, you know, you stand pat and you hope you hit in the second round. This was being proactive. They obviously identified Pierce as their guy. Now, I will say this. If there is an indictment of our general manager, it is a degree of tunnel vision. If he locks on a guy, he locks on a guy.
Yes.
You know, and again, if Penix was, and Wes had a very convenient argument, although I disagree with it, if Penix went this year, he'd be the first year. Okay, great. So does it validate the stupidity of having Cousins and him at the same time? But that said, he definitely wanted to go get Pierce. And we're going to talk to James Pierce Jr. coming up later in the 4 o'clock hour. But okay, so you go and you make the move. If this guy pans out and we are back in the business, Carl, if we're leading, imagine we're top five in sacks.
Be great.
Could you imagine that?
It'd be great.
Having lived there since 16, you're right. And even then, it wasn't a great defense. So, yeah, I'm cool with it. I get it. It took me a while because I had tunnel vision on Mike Green. That's why it just took me about a day to get it around.
And look, again, we can debate, you know, the skill level. Abe and I were talking about this, and Abe was convinced, as he's hanging out with us today here, helping us produce up here at the branch, about, you know, it all depends on the board, and it does. I mean, example is last year. But you can't say, like last year, well, it all depends on the board because the Falcons had him as their best quarterback. And then this year dismissed right. The fact that Mike Green was on everybody's board, but yet nobody took him
right.
In the first round, which makes us obviously say whatever concerns all teams right. Had pushed him to the second round. But I'm telling you guys, somebody's going to take him today. And Mike, you know, for the Falcons, the risk wasn't worth the reward. So they said, look, we'll take somebody else. That we think very highly of, and I don't even know if he was on their board or not. Again, maybe the red flags kept him off their board completely.
Well, again, they got underneath James Pierce Jr.'s fingernails, like teams do. They got all the way back to junior high school football. I mean, they got all the way back to, you know, the family, the way they basically did the same thing with Bijan, although, I mean, I think Bijan sells himself, you know, pre-draft a couple years ago. But, look, they did their due diligence. Here's the guy. So, as we said, guys, you had your guy, I had my guy. Now we're going to see if they're even more aggressive today, or it's just simply going to be, you know, chalk, and we'll have to wait till the third round for our pick. Or, I mean, maybe one more big move in us, and that might be, you know, moving on from Onyemata, creating some cap space, and going for Jalen Ramsey, which I'm not sold on that necessarily, but it would still be an upgrade over Hughes.
No.
And then Hughes slides to the nickel, and all of a sudden, a weakness is a strength.
That's what you want to do. You want to turn what weaknesses we have had into strengths. When you're talking about our team being 31st in sacks last year, we're last in the league. This is the thing, guys. When you go, if you're new to Atlanta, or you're going, man, why is everybody in such a fuss about these pass rushers? Mm-hmm. Last in the league the last 10 years in sacks. That puts it in perspective. It's not just about last year. This has been an ongoing saga for our football team. So when the GM and the front office finally address it, and Mike, we've been saying this, you got to go get it off the tree. That's our analogy, guys, for drafting a guy. You can go bring in a 32-year-old player with the success coming off of an injury. Yes, we hoped it would work, but it didn't. But you go get it off the tree. You go draft a guy or two, and you say, these are young guys, as I've been saying, we can grow with.
Right.
Jalen Walker and James Pierce Jr. turn into players, Mike, that we think they're going to be. Over the next decade, these are guys we're going to fall in love with, and they become our guys.
Right. So, again, guys, Todd McShay literally goes, holy blank, on his live podcast. As things went down, and we move up. And the way you look at it is, yeah, there was always going to be an inherent risk. And you look at the Rams, and, you know, yes, blank those picks, I said to Carl in the 2 o'clock, are only works if we're living in the NFC playoffs. Well, with an offense with the weapons we've got, and this, if these guys hit and Ruka Roro hits, then we will be living in the NFC playoffs for some time to come.
No doubt about it. All right, I want you to hear a couple of things. As I said, maybe you felt a certain kind of way about Terry. Maybe you have been. But it's drafts like this that make you go, wow, okay, you know what, if in fact this works, boy, I mean, he's on the right track. This is what our head coach, Raheem Morris, had to say about Terry Fontenot.
When you talk about it, Terry did such a great job of having the ability to go about profiles and what we're looking for from a rush standpoint, from an edge standpoint, from creating some havoc on the passer. We got a chance to go over some of those profiles and be able to talk to those different things with different coaches that we got in the building. And I really believe the scouts and Terry and his group all really sat down and put together a great list for us to go out there and evaluate. And couldn't be more pleased with the, you know, obviously the class and what was available to us, and to be able to go out there and get that thing accomplished like that. I can't say enough positive things about us.
Now, Terry won't admit it publicly, but I'm going to say, mm-hmm. Mike, that they had no intention of taking offense. Zero.
No. No, and that's good. And like, and I, by the way, I was some, because Mike, you were just trolling us with this offensive tackle. Well, I mean, just based on, you know.
Well, there is a small percentage.
Right. And look, if you go back and you look at Penix has more mobility than Cousins, obviously. And how did they look at the film? I did a deep dive on Caleb McGarry, but obviously, you know, Caleb McGarry didn't hurt us in the game against the Commanders. You know, there was certainly the Giants. It was more Pitts with a bad deflection that created a turnover.
Wasn't it McGarry? Help me if I'm incorrect here. That gave gave up the sack in the Saints game?
Yeah, he trips on Lindstrom. Lindstrom and him kind of lock ankles, okay, and so he falls down. But he also got beat on his own in that game, which didn't help Kirk Cousins hitting the turf. But, yeah, but McGarry did get contribute, if you want, to that that injury to Kirk, which got him off the field.
Yeah, that look, do I think – and this is the point that I always say as we start camp, because I know everybody, you know, talks about where we lack and where we should be adding players. You just – guys, you're not going to be great everywhere. You're just not. And you hope that the players, the great players you have, pick up the slack. I think, unfortunately, Mike, I'm with you. Do I wish we could upgrade in that area? Yes. I don't think they're going to, because their focus has been so much about how to improve this defense. And then you spent the last four drafts on offense. They just – and we don't have the money to go get an upgrade at that position.
And to be honest, the one thing – I mean, when I was killing Terry over the Cousins and Penix both, I wanted Penix one or the other. But the one thing I give him credit – I always give him credit for having good offensive line depth. That's something we didn't have under Dan Quinn. That was something we didn't have in those years. We just really struggled in the trenches having guys who could – you lose – remember one time we had three guys go out?
Oh, yeah.
And we didn't miss a beat. But we can handle that. So they may find some more – again, undrafted free agents, man. Hey, Jesse Tuggle, John Randall, a lot of dudes, you know, we talked about it the other day.
Yes.
Cowboys made a history of getting studs that were undrafted free agents, and we may do the same.
Let's hear Rod talk about the versatility of Jalen Walker. He's set to join us coming up next hour. Guys, stay tuned. Also, James Pierce is going to come on with us live here at Flowery Branch. This is Coach Ra.
You know, being able to come off the edge, being able to move around, he's very self-aware. And if you ever talk to this young man, he'll kind of tell you what he thinks he is. And he's 30% off the edge. He's 30% blitzing through a gap. He can do some different things in the back end. He can drop. He can do all kinds of different things. So, like, he's definitely a threat. And he's definitely provides a threat for us that would allow us to utilize him in the most captivating ways. And, like, we got a lot of coaches up there that are just gunning to use him and gunning to find different ways to get it done. And I just can't say enough good things about him.
Mike, we've used that term Swiss Army knife.
Right, right.
And in many cases – we have said, do you want a guy that does one thing really well, which Pierce does? He just comes off the edge. That's what he does.
See quarterback, get quarterback.
Yes, it's easy. For Jalen, he does a lot of different things well, and that's why you hear Ross say we can use him in so many ways. That's what Kirby and company did at Georgia. And, you know, look,